Days after the capture of Johar Tsarnaev and the killing of his older brother in a gunfight with police, I'm standing at the top of Boylston Street, not far from Copley Square, staring into the face of a video camera, the technology that helped bring a murderous spree to an end. Because of this technology, millions of Americans like Mark Loomis of New Jersey suddenly became deputies in the war on terror. Minutes after the images were released by the FBI, Loomis was watching them on a TV screen in the lobby of the Back Bay Sheraton.
Anyone with information is asked to call 1-800-FBI.
What they did was, you know, inexcusable, and anything I could do to help, I'd be glad to do it.
So can we ever think of ourselves in the same way again? Can we ever think of video cameras without thinking of how they were used in this instance? The same question can be asked relative to other aspects of this sad, tragic affair as we journey back to normal. On Thursday night, after covering the FBI press conference, I was sitting on a city bus crossing the Mass Avenue Bridge and watching the sky over MIT light up in police blue. In Central Square, I hopped in my car and drove to the corners of Vassar and Main to see what was going on. I learned that a policeman had just been murdered, and then came word via police scanner of another startling development.
Be advised, tons of shots being fired. Stolen SUV from the state police.
The state police advisory set in motion a whirlwind of law enforcement activity, the likes of which this region has never seen. Two men, possibly the suspects, had hijacked an SUV Mercedes and were leading police on a high-speed chase in Watertown, firing weapons as they went. At Vassar and Main in Cambridge, police vehicles by the dozen were leaving in a hurry, and reporters followed, including this one. Meanwhile, in Watertown at that moment, a resident named Brendan was looking out his window at an unbelievable sight.
And as car was, I believe it was making a left off Mount Auburn onto my street of Adams, that's when I heard the police say, stop, stop, and just saw lots of muzzle flash.
When the gunfire subsided, Tamerlan Tsarnaev lay on the ground shredded by bullets and shrapnel. With his death and the dramatic capture 24 hours later of his brother, Johar, Watertown returned to normal. But will residents here ever listen to a police siren in the same way again? Some Watertown residents I spoke with here said returning to business as usual will not be easy. Some said they need to know why this happened, and that's why cousins Mariana and Natalis from Brazil say they're happy one Tsarnaev was taken alive.
It's great. We are glad he was caught alive. I think he's going to bring important information in. To be honest, I like the idea that he's going to be given a second chance to change the destiny of things.
What are you feeling right now?
We were a little scared. We live like right down the street, 3 minutes away, but we're just happy that he's got caught. Even though there's like a pain inside, like some sort of compassion in me for this gentleman.
There was no such compassion from Watertown resident Sean Boygoin.
Honestly, I wish they would have taken him out. He's done a lot of damage and he's hurt a lot of people.
The end of this dramatic ordeal elicited different reactions from different residents, from different people in different towns affected. Several times a week, I passed by this high school. Both Tsarnaev brothers attended Cambridge Ridge in Latin, a paragon of diversity of race and religion. And when I pass by this school, I'm not thinking of young terrorists, but of young minds being educated in broad, worldly topics. But today, a bomb squad vehicle is sitting in front of the school, a precaution, no doubt, but very much a scene out of the ordinary. Linda Jane Stavis, who graduated from the high school of Johar in June 2011 and knew both suspects, has been thinking a lot about what it all means.
We were in the same circle of friends, so even though I'd see the younger brother in class, I would occasionally see the older brother at social outings and whatnot around the neighborhood. He could have easily influenced the younger brother, who was reserved and probably a little naive. Out of the two of them, if there was one that was overtly political, it would have been the older one.
Talk of possible connections to radical groups in Chechnya and Dagestan seemed totally disconnected from the ordinariness of this day in Boston's Back Bay. Melody Morris, a scientist, and teacher Jonathan Greiner are walking along Commonwealth Avenue festooned with new magnolia blossoms. Only one day after the advisory to stay indoors was lifted.
As far as in our personal life goes, I don't know how much it's really affected our long-term personal life. Melody got a day off of work yesterday, and we sat inside and, you know, just hope for the best, but that was all we could really do. So I don't really know if it really affected our personal life deeply for in the long term.
And how might it affect your memories?
Well, obviously remember it. Mm-hmm. So every time we see the magnolia trees, we'll remember this time, as that is sort of associated with both a heinous event, but then also when the city came together, which I think is the really nice story here, is that the city came together and not only we weren't paralyzed yesterday, we were taking a day off and letting the police do their job. And so that was I think that's what will affect my memory, is that there will be a memory, and it'll be a round, full memory of both something bad and something good.
A military policeman standing guard, keeping the curious away from the crime scene we know as Boylston Street, is puzzled by my question. Have we returned to normal?
I don't know. I do not know. I'm here until they need me, which is fine. You know, I'm sure things will, once they start wrapping up the investigation, there are less areas that need, you know, assistance being cordoned off. We'll start heading out of here.
In the days after police hunted down the prime suspect in the bombing that took place a few blocks from here, outdoor restaurants are filled with patrons. Drivers are jockeying for parking spaces, and a meter reader is putting tickets on windshields.
Is that a good sign sometimes? We're really late.
And some of the 400 businesses that were closed are now open, including...
Life is good.
Life is good. And then life is good, I'm being offered a free hug. May I have my free hug, please?
Of course you can.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. What's your name?
Jess.
Jess. Okay, yes. Jess. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I just got my free hug. Now, here's a question. Are free hugs normal, or is this beyond the call of duty?
We always offer hugs, but the sign is due to this weekend, but we're always offering hugs.
Well, thank
Anyone
you.
Wants to come in and have a hug, Life is Good is the place to do it.
At the corners of Boylston and Hereford Streets, life is anything but normal. A makeshift memorial has been set up against the steel barriers, stuffed with flowers, cards, letters, and signs, dedicated to the four victims of this tragedy and the many, many injured. A few yards away at the Boylston Street Firehouse, a tall, somber fireman is standing in the doorway, looking past the barriers at the empty street filled with debris. My friend, how are you?
Good, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad. I guess the question I'm asking is, have we returned to normal?
No. Not yet.
How do you get there?
Takes time.
Fires, you've had any problems over the last few days? Things that are, let's say, normal?
Nah, normal medicals. False alarms, the usual. No, nothing way out of whack, so...
I guess the hardest part of returning to normal is how we feel, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel, sir?
I was in the war. This hits at home.
In covering this story, I found in several interviews, though shocked, people were not totally unprepared for the unimaginable. 9/11 set us up for that. A return to what we view as normal is predicated on hope, but also in getting answers to the question, why? The street musician.
Laird.
Laird what?
Laird Kopp, K-O-P-P.
Summed up what many I interviewed felt.
And I think we obviously have a determined spirit here in the Northeast.
Do we ever return to normal? Is there such a thing? And what is normal?
Yeah, maybe not fully. I think it'd always be in the back of our mind. Right? But I think we'll also make an effort just to live life and enjoy people and... and do what we do here in Boston.
And in retracing the route of the Boston Marathon, I arrive at Mass Ave, short of the finish line. And a cop directs traffic, a homeless man pushes a cart, a mother pushes a stroller. My bus arrives on time. And life, perhaps, returns to normal. In the Back Bay, I'm Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.